continue to focus on making our lives better, your lives better, our children's lives better, our communities better. You shouldn't have to go walking past the park that you pay good money for, the park that you used to take your child to go slide down the slide or swing. You shouldn't have to just walk past it and not make eye contact with that junkie who is living in the park now, defecating under the tree and shooting up as you walk past with your child. That's not normal. It doesn't need to be accepted. And it's okay for us to speak out against it. We're not a hater or a bigot or any of the other names they throw at you for daring to say that we deserve better in our communities. We won't be silenced about that. And we continue to raise the issue until it changes, until it is fixed. But boy, we are facing strong, strong headwinds, not least of which the phrase that I've taken and used all myself, but I believe it was created by our next guest, that would be the homeless industrial complex. Edward Ring joins us now to discuss that and a couple of other things he's been writing about very well. He is the co-founder of the California Policy Center and senior fellow at Center for American Greatness. Ed Ring, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Let's start with homelessness. Your January 12th article this week at American Greatness, taxpayers and the homeless are just pawns in scheme to buoy leftist donors. Boy, you paint quite a cycle here. Let's focus. You talk about San Francisco as well and other parts of the state, but let's talk specifically about Mayor Garcetti in Los Angeles and what you see here as this cycle of doom that enriches itself on taxpayer dollars, and it will never actually solve this problem that they call homelessness.
Sure. You know, the homeless industrial complex, that term's been around for about 5 years, but I've felt it's such a descriptive term that I did go ahead and use that and continue to use it, and so do other people. And it really is an accurate way of explaining that in the name of compassion, we have this incredible racket that's been created. And I don't mean that it's necessarily illegal. I'm using that term metaphorically, but it is corrupt, and corruption can be legal. It's possible because of the way we've written our laws and because of the cul-de-sacs we've kind of boxed ourselves into. The only way it seems to be that we can supposedly help the homeless is by creating housing that costs more than $500,000 per unit, and that is just an absolute scam.
So let's break this down now, because all of this might... This is what drives me crazy, Ed Ring, and that is Californians, Angelenos, Southern Californians, Americans in general, we have huge hearts. We recognize how fortunate we are to be in this country. We recognize the relative wealth we have compared to other people in the world. We see our brothers and sisters who are downtrodden, who need help. We despair for them. We are willing. We are willing. We have voted for it ourselves. We're willing to tax ourselves and force the government to, or allow the government to take money from us to solve this problem. The problem is they take that money and then they begin with this flawed process that takes a lot of theories that are just unfounded and frankly false. And so it will never actually be solved. When they look, for instance, housing first, this policy of housing first, explain what that means and why it is flawed.
That's right. That came out of housing and urban development during the Obama administration, and it's a condition of getting federal funds, which often is what's required to tie into state and local funds. And what it means is that a charity that runs a shelter will not get public funding, will not get any matching funds from public sources unless they put a shelter over someone's heads without demanding sobriety. The idea is if you get a roof over somebody's head and you give them shelter, then you start to work on their whatever their pathologies may be. And the problem with that is, you know, you can't spend public money for housing first. If housing costs $500,000 per unit, you're never going to get there. Plus, you create a magnet for people all over the country. We've already got the weather down in Los Angeles, you know, mild winters. So it's already a magnet for people who are able to or have to live unsheltered. But what you end up with is people want to come out to California because there's no conditions on being a street person. You can live on the street in Los Angeles, and you can be a substance abuser, and nobody's going to take you down to the county jail or to some sort of unpleasant place and help you dry out. You can just continue to have that lifestyle, and they're doing everything they can as well to give you free shelter. And they're doing it in the most expensive real estate, you know, some of the most expensive real estate on earth.
Yeah.
So, of course, the costs are, you're never going to solve a problem if you're spending that much money for shelter at the same time as you're putting no conditions on what you have to do in order to be to benefit from that the free shelter.
So in other words, I mean, we've had a pastor on the air, I think it was from of Los Angeles Mission Shelter, one of the busiest, sadly, but also one of the most effective shelters in this city, in downtown. He's not allowed to get any government funding because he dares to say, we will put a roof over your head, we will help clean you up, but you, we don't allow you to use drugs here. We don't allow you to be stoned. We don't allow you to be drunk. If you want this shelter, we ask one condition on you, and that is to clean yourself up. And therefore, he is not getting any of the support, even though that's the way. I mean, every other city that has done this and tried to clean up homelessness in their cities, Ed Ring, they all swear by the same thing. We'll give you a roof over your head. We'll give you a bed to sleep in, but you've got to start going through the process of getting clean and sober.
That's right, and you're seeing that. You know, we've talked with people operating very effective programs that get no public money, but they have these tremendous success rates in getting people off of drugs and getting them job training in Sacramento, San Diego. As you say, there's some of them operating in Los Angeles, and they work, but they don't get any public money. And meanwhile, the public money is going to developers who make political contributions, who have an incentive to develop housing for the homeless in expensive places because they're getting fees, and the fees are based on the absolute cost of the project. So why would you do a project that costs, you know, a cost-effective project when you can do one that's in a very expensive area?
That brings us, Ed Ring, to inclusive zoning, something that is, the Orwellian use of language. Inclusive zoning, Los Angeles has embraced this and mandated it with regard to homeless shelters. And talk about that, and most specifically, the Venice Beach neighborhood, the Reese Davidson community that was just proposed this week before the L.A. Planning Commission.
Well, that is a project that is going to have a construction cost conservatively estimated at $68 million. It's built on a 2.8-acre parcel, again, in very expensive real estate in the heart of Venice Beach that's conservatively estimated at a value of $35 million. So you're going to see a project that, if it goes all the way through and gets built, that's going to cost over $100 million to put up 140 apartment units. A lot of these are singles. They're studios. You know, you might have some people doubling up in these units, but you're under no scenario going to house more than 200 people for well over $100 million. That's just the budgeted number. It's not only in the heart of Venice Beach, where they now have a parking lot and farmers market so people can go to the beach if the beach were safe. So they're gonna lose that. But if you're gonna lose that property, why wouldn't you sell it for $35 million? It's city-owned property, and take that money and go somewhere that maybe isn't quite as pleasant. Because a lot of the homeless, and this is tragic, and this isn't to condemn the homeless, but a lot of the homeless are there by choice and are doing, a lifestyle that, if you really wanted to reduce the homeless problem, you would bring back the laws that make vagrancy and drug intoxication and petty theft crimes again. You know, we've basically decriminalized petty theft in California. If you fixed those laws, a lot of these people would find relatives and friends, and they would get under a roof, and you would automatically reduce the homeless population by a significant percentage, and then there would be people who truly need help, and there'd be fewer of them, and you'd have more money, therefore, to give them help.
So $68 million for that project in Venice Beach, and that's just one. There's sadly way too many projects similar to this in other parts of this city. But let's talk about Venice Beach for a moment. City Councilman Mike Bonin, L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti, anyone else on the city council where one of these construction projects under the guise of inclusive zoning and solving the homeless crisis, 140 units at a time, when you're looking at over 60,000, Ed, can we draw a direct or maybe even tangential line between the money spent on these projects and the real estate developers, the construction companies, the businesses that are making money off of that project? Can we draw a line from them and the money directly to these elected officials, their campaigns, or their political action committees?
Well, that's always tough to actually draw a direct line, but it's a very solid indirect line, because obviously if you're running a business or a nonprofit with for-profit vendors and subsidiaries and interlocking directorates, and you're in a position to collect billions of dollars from the government, it's likely you're going to exercise your First Amendment rights and make contributions to the politicians who support those kinds of projects. So, you know, it's hard to suggest definitively that there's some kind of you can't really call this illegal.
What's most insidious about this corruption is that it is legal. That we have a system that allows this to happen. So I'm not suggesting that you point to any sort of quid pro quo or direct graft that's happening here. I'm just saying I've seen documents that show Mike Bonin's political action committee, which does not have the same stringent laws, campaign finance laws, as his actual election or re-election campaign, but his political action committee, he does get donations from a lot of these real estate developers that he does business with, and that's legal. No one's saying it's illegal. It just stinks to high heaven, Ed.
But it's the moral justification that has to be challenged, because there are obligations to the emotion of compassion. And the obligation is to look at the result and to look at it realistically, and what kind of incentives are you creating? You're not only creating an incentive for people to show up from all over the country to go to Los Angeles with its great weather and Venice Beach with its beautiful bohemian atmosphere. You know, why wouldn't somebody want to go there if they can get free housing, free food, and have no conditions placed on their behavior? And you're also, at the same time, creating a disincentive for anyone to want to follow the rules. You know, you have people living in places like Venice Beach who have bought property there, have invested their lives, and are working very hard to afford to live there, and the neighborhood is being destroyed. Inclusive zoning rests on this assumption that people who can't find the resources to live in wealthy neighborhoods deserve to live there anyway, because if you're wealthy, you must have privilege, and if you're not wealthy, you must be disadvantaged because of oppression. This is a horrible ideology that completely denies human nature. You're not only creating an incentive for people to want to live in nice places without having to work there, but you're creating a disincentive for anybody who does and has managed to move up to these places to want to work hard to try to stay there. It affects both ends of that equation, and it's just a terrible idea.
Yeah, very well said. Ed Grant, you also wrote another very important article today. You've got a lot of them in you these days, Ed, about California's general fund and how basically the solution will be a bailout or maybe whatever taxes we get from billionaires, even though billionaires are leaving by the droves. Can you flesh that out for us? One of the reasons is that we're reaching a huge budget problem. Our general fund is in huge problems with outstanding liabilities to government employee pension funds, health and welfare funds. That bill is coming up, and it seems the only way. Well, you tell me, Ed Ring. I don't see the numbers working here, especially coming out of COVID-19. This is a real crisis here. It could bankrupt the state. What are they relying on there in Sacramento to fix this problem?
Well, most of the money, the biggest category of tax revenue to the state of California is personal income tax, and the by far the biggest contributors in the personal income tax are the very wealthy filers, over a half million, and even more so just from the filers that are over $1 million in income. What that represents is about 60% of all personal income tax. And personal income tax, in turn, represents about half of all revenue. And this is the most, since writing that article, I dug up the, you know, Governor Newsom just released his 2021-22 budget. So those numbers I'm giving you are for 2021-2022. $110 billion is projected to come from personal income tax out of about $220 billion of projected revenue, half of it. And again, 60% of that is coming from people who make over half a million a year. So you can imagine how welcome these proposals to raise taxes on the wealthy even more must be to people who are making that kind of money. And, you know, it, I think it explains one of the reasons that these tech billionaires are backing the Democrats, because they've got, you know, because of their money, we've got a Californian running the House of Representatives, and we have a Californian, Vice President Harris, who's going to preside over the Senate. You know, this budget actually is in better shape because of all of the windfalls that went to tech companies during the pandemic. So they actually did a little better than they expected, but it was better than expected, again, with the super wealthy. And it's not going to last. I mean, this is just 1 year where they're getting this windfall. They can't keep having such a top-heavy budget.
It's a house of cards. And of course, they're also waiting for a bailout as well from federal tax. And I'm not so sure it's going to be that easy of a sell in the Senate. You know, you're going to have Joe Manchin having to go to his constituents in West Virginia and explaining why their tax dollars have to go to save Gavin Newsom's hide.
Well, that's right. You know, it's a gambit that's probably worth trying. I do think it explains some of their support for the Democrats. But the problem is, to the extent you get an exodus of the super wealthy from California, even more of the tax burden falls on the middle class. And what we know is the middle class is leaving in droves. That there is a net out migration out of California. So there's a smaller, shrinking middle class to cover all of the shortfalls that are inevitably coming when part of the middle class and part of the wealthy, you know, get out.
Yep. Edward, I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to leave it there. We're right up against it, but we are always smarter for having a conversation with you. That's why you're always welcome here. Thank you for joining us, and don't be a stranger. We'll have you back. It's Edward Ring. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Greatness, co-founder of the California Policy Center. I'm Larry O'Connor. John Phillips next on KABC.